At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 13.
Our patrons over at patreon.com/writingexcuses have made it possible for us to record more than just 52 episodes in a single calendar year. And this episode is one of those bonus episodes. Thank you, patrons, for making this possible. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. And if you'd like to become a patron, I already gave you the URL. This is Writing Excuses, Elephants and Death, with Lawrence Schoen.
15 minutes long, because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Dan.
I'm Howard.
And with us, we have my beloved roommate for this convention.
Aww.
At Gen Con, Lawrence Schoen. Lawrence, tell us about yourself.
Oh, wow. I wear lots of different hats, and yet I never wear hats. I'm a cognitive psychologist. I'm a hypnotherapist specializing in authors' issues. I'm the founder and director of the Klingon Language Institute, a small press publisher, and oh yeah, when there's time, I write novels.
Awesome. Thank you for coming. We are not going to talk about any of those things.
Sweet!
We're going to talk about elephants and death. And the reason that we have this is because when we were discussing topics, I was really excited about Uplift, and they were really excited to talk about death, because I'm the one who writes about death, and they're the two that write about Uplift. So both of you have uplifted elephants featured prominently in your science fiction.
That's true.
Why?
You know, the fact that you asked that question means that no answer I give you would be satisfactory. Because elephants are just cool, and they are fun to write, and they were the protagonists of the novel, so I ran with that. But the novel's all about death as well, so it's I am the bridge between the two of them.
Oh, he very much the Barsch novel. I loved it. It's a great exploration of the psychology of death. The elephants, the fant, as you called them.
Font.
Font.
Because they have their own writing system, which I did a typeface of. It's the font.
Oh. Okay, you get one of those, and that was
it's a live show.
I figured. Now you guys know exactly what it's like to be his roommate.
Okay. But the exploration of that through what is essentially an alien is at the core of all that is science fiction. We are able to explore the human condition through things that are not human in ways that we probably couldn't if we were writing about humans.
This is the fun thing about writing about anthropomorphic animals, because you get all the great things you get when you write about aliens, but we already know them. And so I get to draw in various things that an ethologist does research on, like elephant societal structures. And then just, oh, and they're intelligent. So instead of, you know, in regular elephant, in regular, you know, the kind we have, females and children all wander around together in like large family units. And when male elephants reach maturity, they go off on their own as like, you know, wild bachelors. And we have this in Barsk. So if you're a realtor on Barsk, you know, there are these enormous family homes and all these little tiny, you know, one-bedroom apartments.
Bachelor pads.
Bachelor pads, and the men keep moving around. They never stay in one place very, very, very long because they have to keep moving, and they will travel to other islands and on like this. And the women folk are there. I always think of it as that line from Gilbert and Sullivan, you know, and we are his sisters and his cousins and his aunts. Obviously, your listeners need to listen to HMS Pinafore more. And it just changes the whole way you approach society.
Yeah, I recently watched Zootopia, and the special features on Zootopia, the guys talked about going out to Africa and watching animals, and their design for the characters in the film completely changed after seeing this because they were doing exactly what you're describing. They would take the groups, instead of, oh, here's a giraffe, and here's an elephant, and here's a lion, and giraffe, elephant, lion, antelope, whatever, they started grouping them the way they would group in the wild, and it was kind of brilliant and beautiful, and it informed, I loved watching those special features, it informed the story.
Yeah.
From there. My elephants, Dan asked, you know, why'd you guys put elephants in? Was a terrible, terrible mistake. I told a joke. I've been to Africa, you know, on the safari, they warned us, you know, the most dangerous animal out here, not man, because none of you have guns, the most dangerous animal out here is the bull African elephant. Do not make it mad, because that's the only thing here that can kill us while we're in the car.
Yeah.
And they have terrible tempers. I mean, you piss them off and they're all over you. And so I told a joke about uplift. You know, we've uplifted this and this and this. And the one thing everybody could agree on is that uplifting the African elephant was a mistake. And my readers, I did not realize at the time, my readers felt like I'd made a promise to them that there were going to be elephants in the comic. And drawing the scale between a human being and an elephant is pretty dramatic.
Yes.
And putting them all in the same panel is a lot of really annoying work.
I've always appreciated that extra effort you put into I noticed those strips seem far and few between, but I always appreciated
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I haven't gone to the lengths that you've gone to in order to incorporate elephant culture, because if there's anything worse than drawing one elephant, it's yes. drawing 10.
Yeah. Well, let me give you another example of the same
fighting
thing.
Fighting in a circus. What a terrible idea
and
that was.
And then the gravity shuts off.
Yeah.
But you know, because Barsk is the name of the planet where the elephants live, but it's the galaxy full of over 100 uplifted races, species. And as another example of drawing on real animal behavior, there's a scene where one of our villains goes to meet a bunch of prairie dogs who happen to be precognitive. And they're all in a particular, as they are, you know. And he goes.
That's why whack-a-mole is so hard.
Right. And he goes to see them, and he enters, you know, the antechamber, and one is waiting. And he says, oh, you're waiting for me because you knew I was coming because you're precognitive. And he says, no, one of us is always here. Because prairie dogs always leave a sentry at every opening to a prairie dog colony. And if you know that at prairie dogs, you go, oh, I get it. That's. And if you don't, you just say, oh, well, Sean's too clever for his own good, and you move on.
And the other way you go.
Yeah.
The animal behavior stuff, the alien behavior stuff, exploring human attributes through this, I think is where, for me, stories in general really... That's where they get traction, when I see a piece of myself.
The thing I like best when people tell me about their experience with Barsk is when they tell me they reach the point where the characters, the protagonists and so forth, stopped being elephants, that they became people for them. And that's yes! Because the humanity behind a character doesn't care what flesh it's wearing, doesn't care what the DNA looks like. And that's where I was going with all of this. And that's why, you know, one of the themes about the book is things like intolerance and so forth. But we haven't gotten to death.
Well, that's okay, because we're going to pause right now.
Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you're going to tell us about Barsk. Not that we haven't been hearing about it for 7 minutes, but give us the quick pitch. It is Barsk, the Elephant's Graveyard.
I will give
tell us about the book.
I will give you the quick pitch because my wife wrote this, helped me write this, and she insists I do this every time. So, prophecy, intolerance, loyalty, conspiracy, friendship, a drug for speaking to the dead, also elephants in space.
I'm awesome. In. Well, I mean, I already read it, but I'm in again.
I will sell you another copy.
So that is Barsk by Lawrence Schoen.
Barsk, the Elephant's Graveyard by Lawrence Schoen.
By Lawrence Schoen. And go
is it
look
on
it up.
In Audible yet?
It is, and the Audible, there's. If I can sneak in a quick thing about the Audible.
Sure.
So I mentioned, and I know you
got
you said
an
we were,
actual elephant to read the...
Even better! Even better! You said we weren't going to talk about some of the other hats I wear, but you know, I have all these people who follow me because of my work with Klingon, but they don't want to read my fiction because it's not Klingon fiction. So I reached out to an actor I knew, J.G. Hertzler, who portrayed Martok, Admiral Martok on Deep Space Nine.
He's got the best friggin' voice in the show.
He's got the best, and he's never done audiobooks before. And he recorded the audio for Barsk. And it is beyond brilliant. And I'm thinking this is going to be a whole new future career for John. And you know, I want my percentage, you know. or at least I want to do the next book.
All right, so let's get back into this. It is not just Barsk, it is Barsk the Elephant's Graveyard.
There's
so
a colon in there.
Death is a key part of this.
It is.
How so?
The MacGuffin there is that there is this drug that is derived from a plant that only grows on Barsk, and certain people under the influence of this drug discover they can perceive a new subatomic particle, a subatomic particle of memory and personality. And we all give these particles off every day we live, and when we die, they disperse. And if you can use this drug, you can pull them back. And when you have enough of them, that person materializes in front of you, and you can converse with him or her. And this is the latest instantiation of this in my fiction of, I just don't like death. I don't like the idea that death is the end of us. So in Barsk, the idea is we are all complex patterns of organized information. And that information shouldn't vanish just because the meat we're wearing, you know, has gone bad. And the parallel I like to give is, you know, you look up in the night sky and you're seeing light from stars that don't exist anymore. But that information is still coming toward us. And we happen to have, you know, eyes that allow us to perceive that. What we lack at the moment, arguably, is either sensor apparatus or hardware that lets us perceive the information that each of us, that is each of our lives. And so the premise behind this drug is that that gives us that ability. And then we're off and running.
That's awesome.
The exploration of death from the eyes of someone who is uncomfortable with it, as most of us should be.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of you I saw when I was reading the book, but I saw a whole lot of me. There's a character in the very beginning. The point at which I knew you'd written a wonderful book was the scene where someone is carving, and he knows it's the last work of art he's going to perform, and it's not for him. It's for I don't know what it's for. And as an artist, the idea that at some point I'm going to make the last thing I make is a little terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you might be given foreknowledge, you might know, this is the last thing that I am going to make, and it is only for me. I wept during that, because as an artist and as writers, we want our works to outlive us, and I think we want to be read after we're gone.
Part of the conceit of the title is on Barsk. When your death is approaching, you wake up one morning and go, oh, and you have a destination in your mind. And there is an island that you set sail to. And nobody knows where it is until it's time to go. And if you and you won't tell anybody because it's not, they don't need to know yet.
You're not dying.
You're not dying. And you don't tell anybody you're going. You just, you know, pack up and go. And this is in the very first chapter. And I think it begins with Russell. Russell went to meet his death. So he's in this weird state of his life is over, and he hasn't gotten to the island yet.
He's not dead.
He's not dead, but he is dead, and life has passed. His life is behind him. He's not physically dead. In his mind, you know, he's filled out all the forms. You know, he's said his goodbyes to the people he needed to say goodbye to. He took the things he wanted to take with him on his voyage. He's packed for the trip, and he knows where he has to go. And minor spoiler is that the bad guys, who are basically everybody else in the galaxy because they want the drug that grows on Barsk and they don't want to have to deal with the elephants anymore, they show up and they abduct him because no one's going to come looking for him because he's dead. And we're off and running.
Yeah. The thought there, and I want to extrapolate this a little bit broader, because this appears through fiction all the time. How do you behave if you know that this is your last day?
Yeah.
How do you behave if you know that this is your last week? I was in my 20s, and somebody said, yeah, you know, live today like it was your last. What does that really mean?
That's when I just start breaking things.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
You know, it's no accountability? Well, is No, I mean, that's the first reaction. I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to get laid, and maybe at the same time, and, you know, all these things, and black tar heroin, and whatever you want. You know,
whatever I want.
Whatever you want.
StarCraft Dan, LAN party.
Okay.
This is your roommate, Dan.
There you go. He's been sleeping with one eye open. But then you look at your life and you say, but that's not me. And I've actually had this conversation with other people, and they said, no, if I know it's my last day, maybe I won't go to work, but I'll spend the day with my wife, and I'll take the kids to the zoo, ironically enough. Or, you know, I'll go walk on the beach, or I'll make peace with myself, you know. What are the things that I never got to do that I meant to do, and I'm okay with that?
Yeah, I remember a line in one of the Vorkosigan novels where Miles gets shot in the chest and dies.
He does.
And his last thoughts are, wait, I haven't.
Yeah.
And then it's done. And that terrified
me. Absolutely.
Because I do not want that to be my last thought. Wait, I haven't.
This goes back to what's the poem? When I have fears that I may cease to be before my pen has gleamed my teeming brain. You know, they burned that into me in high school, and it's like, no, that can't be a thing. I have books to write, you know, and I'm of questionable health, and I'm thinking, man, this sucks. I got to quit the day job so I can write more books, but then I'll die because I don't have food or a house. So there is this compromise we play, but no, I have things to do. I have stories to tell, and I just had my birthday last week, so it's like, you know, my mortality has been brought to my awareness again, and it's like,
well, that's what birthdays.
That's
for.
What birthdays.
Dan,
are for.
Dan, are we morbid enough yet?
I think we need to take this cheerful tone and end the podcast on it, because our time is up. Ironically.
Oh my.
Well, when you're out
you
of time,
you get one, and that was it.
So, give us a really quick writing prompt.
Okay. Come up with a method for immortality, and then convince your protagonist not to use it.
Very cool. All right. This has been Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go.
Right.
I'm glad they didn't say die.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.